to the SRC and what your roles were.
Yeah. Well, I just tried to look it up, but I couldn't really find some old stuff of mine. But I, well, we came to SRC relatively early. When I say we, that means myself and Tom Carlson from ORNL. We worked together. And I, if you wish, we could say, was in charge of the atomic part of our work, and he was in charge of the molecular part of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And all our work was done in the gas phase.
Okay.
Which was a kind of a rather new thing for synchrotron radiation. Couldn't claim at this moment whether we were the first or not, but among the first to do that gas phase work with synchrotron radiation at a synchrotron source. And the first, well, actually, there was Jim Taylor of the university in the chemistry department there. Mm-hmm. You have his name and so on, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, James Taylor. And one of his students did build an apparatus, and, well, we were kind of consulting and observing and when they did some of their first experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And then I built an apparatus suitable for gas phase work to go to the synchrotron radiation source here in Oak Ridge, at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And once it was ready, we came up in January or February, I think it was 81.
Okay.
You probably have some of these schedules in your files.
Yeah.
And you can, I don't know how good a scheduling logbook is row kept, but it would be in there when we came from Oak Ridge and had, I think, 4 weeks of beam time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was early in the year, and it could have been as late as 82, but I think it might have been, let's say 82 plus minus a year.
Okay.
So look it up, please.
Sure.
If you really need to know, at some point I think I have some log books myself here that with or other information.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did our first work at the Tenderness 3-meter TGM.
Okay.
Toroidal grating on a commutator. I did some measurements on the xenon atom. And Tom Carlson did some measurements on a simple molecule, but I don't remember what.
That's all right.
Okay. Here again, unfortunately, he has died in the meantime, so you cannot interview him. And we continued to work there. Let me just talk of my work. And did then very soon do some work on metal vapors. In other words, we vaporized metals and looked at these so-called metal atoms in the gas phase. For example, some of the first experiments were on manganese.
Mm-hmm.
And manganese and silver, and I think lead, PB bloom bomb. And most of it was at relatively low energy, at, well, at tantalus, one could hardly go above 100 electron volts. So, and most of our work was done there at the TGM and the SEIA monochromator, mm-hmm. which is very low energy. And then very soon, after a few years, when finally Aladdin opened up for business, we moved over there and did to continue our experiments. And the emphasis was mostly on metal vapors.
Mm-hmm.
And I would look it up, almost anything that would vaporize up to 1100 degrees centigrade, Celsius, we looked at. And of course we looked at all the rare gases from helium to xenon. Well, as I said, some of the other of the metal vapors.
So what was the intention of your studies?
Pardon me?
What were the intentions of your studies, studying gas vapors?
The intent, yeah. Well, we called it that from the beginning that we were examining, investigating the structure and the dynamics of the electronic structure of these atoms.
Mm-hmm.
And that, by way of the photoelectric effect, because and later on, by the way, also by way of the Auger effect, but first primarily by the electronic, by the photoelectric effect, and which told us the cross sections and the angle distributions of the electrons, and in return, told us about well, you could say the wave functions of these more lightly bound atoms, lightly bound electron shells.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the outermost shells, and then go further inside, the penultimate shell, and even further inside, as far as we could go with the available energies.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, the further you go inside the atom, the more energy you need, because these electrons are bound more tightly. And, of course, we always looked at the ejected electrons.
Mm-hmm. So
that, pardon?
I have another follow-up question. So what were the differences when you switched from tantalus to Aladdin?
Ah, yeah. Well, there were... perhaps not right away, but ultimately the idea was, and it came true, that we had a much wider energy range, several hundred EV electron volt in energy of the photons, photon energy, and we had a much better intensity than on tantalus, and we had much better resolution.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we could detect the finer details of the electronic structure. And by that, got more information on the various interactions among the electrons in the various shells.
Mm-hmm.
So... and of course, what became very important was then later, not just the switch from tantalus to Aladdin, but also that at Aladdin, the so-called undulators were introduced. Are familiar or got from other people, do you know what these undulators are?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Okay. Because I'm just saying, without knowing how much you are have already done and are familiar with all these terms. So
yeah, I'm quite familiar with the terms and the jargon, so please go ahead.
And as much as you can know about it, so don't hesitate to ask back.
Okay.
So what was very important in the switch at Aladdin from the ordinary bending magnets to the undulators, which meant an additional factor, usually a magnitude of intensity gain of the photon beam, as well as a bit of focusing, got to a smaller spot, and in addition, with the associated monochromators, much better resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So we were, in regard to the metal vapor work, I think we had first at Tantalus, but even more at Aladdin, were among the leading researchers in that field, and then we, and later on, I was joined. Well, there were various a number of students and a number of colleagues from, or usually from abroad, and a number of thesis students who were working with me and others with Tom Carlson. I always say we because we had just this one machine and we were able to use it for both Carlson's molecular work and my atomic work.
Mm-hmm.
And then there comes an important improvement, you can say, and some later date, I think it was 86 or 87, when Denise Caldwell from the University of Central Florida joined in the work, and so we worked together on equal terms and continued the work with the metal vapors, and also then added another dimension to the research. Almost, I think no one else had actually done that at a synchrotron radiation source, and not too much in the laboratory. We looked at what we called the so-called open shell atoms. You have to remember that the rare gas atoms, the so-called noble gases, is another name for it, have a closed shell structure.
Mm-hmm.
While most other atoms in the periodic table have actually open shell structures. That means that some electrons are missing in the outermost shell.
Mm-hmm.
That usually doesn't matter too much when you speak of the solid state systems, well, because there is this interaction of these electrons and forming bands, etc., etc., and not all that much with the molecules. Although that has other aspects to it. Let's just talk of the atoms, since you are talking with me. And so what that means, they have these open shell structures. Of course, there was already, some of the work was already happened with some of the metal vapors that they had open shell structures, but we usually measured first those that had closed shell structures for two reasons. It was, of course, simpler to treat theoretically for the other people, for the theoreticians, to work on it. And it was simpler for us experimentally because they usually had a lower vapor pressure. So we could heat them up and make vapors out of these atoms. Many of them vaporized nicely at anywhere from a few hundred degrees to let's say 1200 or 1250 degrees, which turns out to be, which was the limit of our oven, of our setup. However, then we went to what you may call the real open shell atoms, which are the chlorine and oxygen and their relatives, and investigated those. And who was most responsible for that were some of my co-workers. One was a student from Amsterdam. I don't know, are you coming from Holland directly?
No, I'm in Wisconsin.
Pardon me?
I'm in Wisconsin in the States.
Yeah, this is where you are now. Were you born in the U.S.?
Yes.
Okay. You just have the name.
Yep, just a Dutch name.
Okay. But anyhow, I had a student made his thesis with me from the Free University in Amsterdam, Holland. And then, of course, Denise Caldwell. And so we investigated these atoms quite thoroughly, and to find out what special interactions were at work in these open shell atoms were these electrons that, well, you have quite complex configurations among possible among these electrons. And that may be caused by just electrostatic interactions like expressed in the Russell-Saunders coupling, or they may be of the magnetic type like spin interactions and which ultimately need to be treated relativistically. Mm-hmm. That's in simple terms. And that was our work for a long time, and you probably know from the publications you must have a list of, and from the records at SRC about the various people who worked with me. In this case, when I say with us, meaning with me and with Denise Caldwell, from the University of Central Florida. And some of these guys continued work in synchrotron radiation, some abroad and elsewhere. And one of them, Whitfield, continued then at SRC. He got a professorship at Eau Claire, the University of Wisconsin at Eau Claire. Mm-hmm. And I bequeathed the spectrometer to him, so he had a good start and could continue using my spectrometer, mm-hmm. which at that time was already 20 years old. which is an awfully long time for a scientific instrument, first of all, to work and still be good enough to get good results, top results. So this, in some ways, it's kind of unique. There are some very good cars that last for 20 years, but scientific instruments, especially in our modern times, usually are out of date after a few years, maybe 5 years, 10 years at most. But this spectrometer, with some improvements, of course, did continue to give good results after 20 years. And if Scott Whitfield did some experiment in the last year or two, he probably still used that instrument. So I think that is essentially my somewhat global story on my work at SLC.
Great. Could you tell me about the community and kind of the atmosphere of Tantalus and Aladdin?
What happened?
Can you tell me about the atmosphere and the community?
Oh, the atmosphere. Okay. Well, when it comes to the atmosphere, it was just excellent. This has been a big strength of SRC, that it was always very collegial and positive when you worked there. That was especially true, of course, at Tantalus, because it was so much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was both as a source and as the number of researchers. So practically everybody knew the other one. And so and the management and the staff was always very responsive. And I think that accounted for the fact that Tantalus was so productive and had a number of good results, and you could say even pioneering results did come out of Tantalus. Now going to Aladdin, things changed in the sense that it became larger, first of all,
mm-hmm.
and that always means a little bit more, let's say, bureaucracy, well, more a more structured approach.
Mm-hmm.
But the staff and the management were still always was very responsive and outstanding all the time I have been there. I had been there from the beginning to, well, I officially retired in 1995, but did some experiments up to 2000. So in other words, the last time I did some experiments at Aladdin was even, I think it was in 2000. Yeah, maybe 2001. Let's say 2000. And things were always wonderful. Sure, they knew me and I knew them, which was undoubtedly very helpful, but it went far beyond. And the interaction between the various researchers, which of course had multiplied by that time, was always quite collegial and amicable, and so it always has been a great place to work and do experiments. Of course, in later years, with some other sources coming along, synchrotron radiation sources, especially the ALS, that is the advanced light source in Berkeley, and which would be the most comparable source to Aladdin, and it was, of course, a better source, a new generation. And well, we did actually at some point did go out there and did an experiment there, as some people in solid state, like Himsel and some of these people, did more often. It was just not as, it was a different atmosphere in the sense that it was more pressure at these other institutions, mm-hmm. and sources, like you generally find at bigger institutions, and especially at these so-called bigger machines, whether they are proton accelerators or synchrotron radiation sources or neutron sources, whatever. They are usually quite high pressure sources for the people.
Mm-hmm.
At Aladdin, it was always great that we got the time, and most usually, oftentimes when we wanted it, well, it was a matter of scheduling for both the staff there, as well as our own schedules, and to get, as a rule, a fair amount of time, mm-hmm. more than you usually could get elsewhere. And by that, a lot of work, good work, could be done at Aladdin. And I think we proved that ourselves. And if you listen to the other people, they probably could tell you the same thing.
Yeah. Well, great. That's all the questions that I have for now. But is there anything else you'd like to add to your time as a whole?
Well, the only thing is Denise Caldwell is here. And if you want to have a few words with her, I think she would be ready to talk with you.
Sure.
Yeah. Sweet. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So I give you the phone to her. Actually, we should have a three-way conversation, but anyhow. so it was good talking with you.
Yes.
And if you need any more, by the way, whatever you ultimately write up, it would be nice if I could look at it at some
certainly.
Point.
Certainly, I will.
Before you finalize it.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Pardon?
We will keep in touch.
Yeah, and so, well, it was good talking with you.
Yes.
And bye-bye.
Thanks for your help, Manfred.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello, Denise?
Yes.
Hi, this is Eric Verbaeten.
Hi.
I'm doing the History of Science project for the SRC.
Uh-huh.
So I've been doing interviews with the staff and the directors and the users, so
uh-huh.
Manfred just got done telling me his story about what he's
done.
So
yeah.
I figured I would ask you the same questions. You could tell me when you came to the SRC and what you worked with.
Well, I think the first time I was actually at FRC was in 1986. I was on the faculty at the University of Central Florida. And I started up a collaboration with Manfred. Of course, by this time, Aladdin was up and running. I actually never worked on Tantalus.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that we did that winter, and I still distinctly remember that it was the winter time, is that we moved the spectrometer, the electron spectrometer, from the old Tantalus building to Aladdin, and set up, I can't remember which, I think it might have been the 3-meter TGM,
mm-hmm.
the toroidal grating monochromator, I believe. We did an experiment on gallium metal, I seem to recall. The Saya, it was the Saya. Munford just said it was the Saya.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think just very shortly after that, I had a someone who was working with me as a, no, who was working with Munford as a postdoc at that time, who had been a graduate student with me from Mexico, Jose Jimenez, and he came up, and I think we did one of the first experiments on the 4-meter NIM, looking at, I mean, I don't really remember, actually, which metal. I'd have to go back and look at the reference to see which what it was. And then from that time, for the, certainly the next, for 10 years, we worked together with Munford. We collaborated, and I had several students and postdocs who came up, and we pretty well did a lot of experiments pretty much all the way around the ring on quite a number of different instruments. It just kind of depending upon the experiment that we wanted to do and what was available and when we could get beam time.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, I did that until about 1996, I think.
Okay.
I left the university and actually moved to the National Science Foundation.
Okay.
Took a position there and essentially closed down my experimental effort. I had a student and a postdoc who were finishing up, and they worked a little bit just to finish, and that was more or less it. And then I didn't go back anymore. So that's kind of it. We've got a fairly long record of a lot of publications, so mm-hmm. it was a very good experience.
So what was your role at the NSF?
Pardon me?
What was your role at the NSF?
Well, I'm still at the National Science Foundation.
Okay.
I was originally a what's called a program director
mm-hmm.
for the Atomic Molecular Optical and Plasma Physics program. I am now the deputy division director in the physics division.
Okay. We have yet to get to talk to anyone from the NSF, and that's kind of our next step because Aladdin is funded. But do you know anything about how funding works with the NSF and the relationship with Aladdin?
Well, it's in an entirely different division from the one I work in. The SRC was always funded by the division within the Division of Materials Research.
Okay.
I know some of the people who were responsible for the SRC. I think many of them have actually left NSF. They've retired.
Mm-hmm.
I really honestly couldn't tell you who has responsibility now. The person I knew best was Loretta Engelhardt, later Loretta Hopkins after she married. She's been gone now for several years. So I really don't know a lot of detail about the support for SRC and, how that's handled and who handles it now,
mm-hmm.
since it's not in my division, really.
Mm-hmm. So could you tell me a little bit more about the different experiments you did on Aladdin during your 10 years?
Well, Munford has already told you about a lot of the kinds of things that we did.
Mm-hmm.
They were all gas phase, We worked on metals, metal vapors. We worked on noble gases, and we worked in, I heard him just talking to you, he was talking about the experiments on the halogen atoms, which was kind of the last group of things that we did with a new discharge source that we developed. And it it was, I would say, pretty much what he told you. It was photoelectron dynamics. It was electron dynamics in gas phase atoms. It was using his spectrometer. It and the atoms, we did it, combined a lot of it with theoretical calculations from some of our colleagues, and fitting the spectra. A number of the measurements that we made, I think, on some of the halogen atoms then became went into the NIST set of data. I can't remember exactly. It was fluorine, wasn't it, Munfred? I think it was the fluorine measurements that we did on looking at the spectroscopic energy levels of fluorine that then later were incorporated into the NIST data tables. So I would say I would call it primarily spectroscopy.
Okay. Now, what is the point of using vaporized metals versus a solid metal?
Oh, if you're looking at an entirely different, you're looking at different physics.
Okay.
All right. When you, if you're looking at a solid metal, all of the, your band structure and everything is very different. So your energy levels are going to reflect the band structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to reflect the way the energy levels are distributed in the metal. Unless you go really, really deep, and then you can see in inside an atom that's embedded in a metal, then you can see evidence of atomic-like features. But there, you'll never see them really cleanly because of all of the metal structure that the electrons have to go through. So it really is, it's different physics, all right? Well, if you look at atoms in metals, you're studying the metal. If you look at gas phase, you're studying the individual atom. So you're getting at a slightly different physics.
And I asked Munfred about the atmosphere of Aladdin. Would you be able to comment on that?
Oh, it was wonderful. I really enjoyed working there. And I would have to say, I think the best thing about it is that was just myself. I was an individual investigator at a university. I didn't have a lot of people. I had, at any one time, there was well, Munfred and I collaborated. Sometimes he and I would do experiments. Sometimes there would be maybe a student and a postdoc, sometimes a couple of postdocs. It was a very small group. And Aladdin is wonderful for a small group.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fantastic because it is, you're not running 24 hours a day, or at least you weren't at that time. And with a small group, just two or three people, you can't run 24 hours a day. Plus the fact that we needed sort of downtime to particularly with the metal vapors, we'd run out of run out of stuff. So we'd have to take everything apart and reload it. And so that all that took time. And so you had to count on building that into the measurements that you made. But the gases, if it starts out as a gas, it's a little bit easier. But the wonderful thing about working there was that it was very, very supportive for, particularly for smaller groups like mine was.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got 3 weeks to do an experiment, I mean, that's it. You've got 3 weeks, and you don't fool around, right? If within those 3 weeks, you've got to get it done because you've only got 3 weeks. And we had, so if something goes wrong, you have to fix it. You just fix it. You don't talk about it. You don't discuss it. You just fix it. And and the situation it was that when we that the staff really knew this, and so if you needed something, they were right there. They worked you in. They helped you get what you need right away because they really understood the pressure you were under to finish. And, I mean, the one case that particularly comes to mind is when we were doing our measurements in fluorine atoms. And we had worked for 2 weeks, over 2 weeks. We were in the third week. And still, the thing hadn't worked. And so we finally got down, like, I think on a Monday, to try one last thing, right, to see if it will work. And sure enough, it worked. Well, just about the time that it started working, then our microwave generator that was belonged to my apparatus had a problem. And they helped us fix it. They knew the company where they could get the piece that we needed ordered. They got it practically overnight. And so we were essentially up and running the next day. And I would say that was typical.
Wow.
Of the kind of staff support that we got. So it was just from that perspective, it was really great. It was really a great place to work, and particularly for small university-based groups.
Mm-hmm. So have you since then retired?
Oh, no. The only reason you got me today is because I work for the federal government. Tomorrow's the 4th of July, and so they gave us our 4th of July holiday today.
Well, great. Well, that's all the questions I have for now. Is there anything else you'd like to add to your time as a whole at Aladdin?
No, I would just the general comment. I think I've probably already made it. It was really 10 wonderful years of being there, of working with the people and getting to know them and doing the experiments. It was 10 wonderful years, I would have to say.
Well, great. Well, thank you for all your help and your input.
Okay, sure. My pleasure.
We'll certainly keep in touch and let you know how the project's coming.
Okay, well, do that.
All right, well, thanks
again. And say hi to Esther for me.
I most certainly
will.
Tell her
I don't know why she can't find me on the NSF webpage.
Okay.
I'm there.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.